Hello, this is George Lang. It is October 7th, 2017, 4:45, in a room in Bay Hall. Joined with me is Richard Barrera. Do I have your permission to record?
Yes.
All right. Can I get your full name?
My name is Richard Anthony Barrera.
And where are you from?
I was born and raised in Corpus Christi.
All right. What specific part of Corpus Christi?
The Crestmont area, so it's near the south side, but it's like southwest Corpus, right in the outskirts there.
Okay, and so how was it growing up in Corpus?
Like most Corpus people, I hated it, but I slowly grew to love the city. I left it shortly after high school because I just thought there's nothing here, but about 10 years later, I found myself back.
And did you go back to that same area you grew up in?
No, now I live in Portland,
okay.
Which is just across the Nueces Bay.
And that's where you were when the storm hit, correct?
That's where I live. So during the storm, we didn't evacuate during Harvey. We actually, because of circumstances, me and my dad and his girlfriend didn't leave, but I was left to board up my mom's house. I lived with my mother, so we tried to get her and my grandmother out as quickly as possible that Friday, and then me and my dad took care of boarding up all the houses, because there was my grandmother's house, which is still, it was in Crestmont, that's the house I grew up in, my mother's house, which is in Portland, and it's only a few blocks from the ocean. Luckily, I really wasn't worried too much about the storm surge because we had that huge bluff. But and then also my father's house, which he lives in the Del Mar neighborhood. Not where the college is, but the actual proper neighborhood near Louisiana. And he's on a pretty high bluff there, too. So we boarded up his house and decided to stay there. It seemed like the toughest storm in the Del Mar neighborhood.
So could you elaborate on your preparations for the storm?
Well, we weren't prepared at all. We were actually, that day, I do employee benefits consulting, so we do open enrollments, which is basically like when people have to re-sign up for their insurance every year, we have to meet with them and talk to them one-on-one. So one of our new clients is the city of Mathis. So they were renewing for October 1st, so we were there a few weeks prior, or about a month prior, I guess, to talk with everyone and enroll them. And we got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. We knew Harvey was coming this way, but we just didn't know how bad it was. And then one of my coworkers, oh, wow, it's going to be a Category 3. And my initial thought was, oh, well, we got to go. I mean, that's actually exactly what I said. I said, well, we all need to evacuate. And everyone was just, are you sure? Do you really think we have to? And I remember I took an eighth grade science class where we dedicated about a month to just studying hurricanes. It was a great class. It was really fun. And the professor, or the teacher, was really fantastic. But he drilled into us over and over the danger of hurricanes and how unpredictable they are, for one, but to how dangerous they are. So I once here, it's a Category 3, 120 miles an hour winds, I think. I figured we all need to leave. So I convinced my coworkers to leave, and I called my mom up and tried to convince her. And my parents are no longer married, haven't been for a long time, but they're still pretty close. So I was trying to convince her, and I was there with my dad. I work for my dad. I was there with my dad. My dad said, well, if she's not going to, she needs to go, because I want her to take my mother, my grandma. So I called her back, and I said, Dad is asking if you can take grandma up to Austin to stay with Amber, my sister. And she said, well, the girls are in school right now. I've got to work and this and that. And Dad said, can you just hand me the phone? So I handed the phone to him and he said, Kimberly, I need you to take my mom to Austin. I need you to. She just turned 85. So he really didn't want her to be here for the storm. And my mom kind of understood and said, okay, then I will. And he said, we'll take care of your house. Just worry about the girls, yourself, and mom. So she left work shortly thereafter. The girls go to GP, Gregory Portland High School, and she pulled them out, and they were shutting down school anyway, and she went and picked up my grandma, and they left about an hour later. In the meantime, we're at Mathis, like, for the open enrollment, which is supposed to go on from, like, 8 to 5 p.m., and no one's really showing up, so my dad says, well, let me go talk to the HR person. And he goes to go find the HR person, and they're actually having an emergency meeting for the city at that point. So he walks in, and she's like, well, we're dealing with this. I don't think we can do it right now. And he said, okay, we're calling it off. So we all came back, and I asked my mom. I know she had boards. She had plywood for the windows. So I asked her about it, and she said, oh, let me go look. Well, unfortunately, she stored them outdoors, and they'd been stored outdoors for like the last decade. So when we went to go pick them up, they just crumbled in our hands, and it wasn't going to do anything. So I went to the HEB on Port, and kind of wandered around, saw that there was this huge line. Is this enormous? I mean, it's Home Depot, so it's a big warehouse.
You said HEB?
Did I say HEB? I'm sorry, Home Depot.
Okay.
My apologies.
Off Port.
Yeah. Okay. The one at Port near, almost. If there was like the northeast corner of the building is where they have all the plywood. They had a line that snaked through the entire store and then kind of circled around on the southwest side, like on the complete opposite side of the store. The way I found the line was I just saw a bunch of people waiting, and it's like, what is this? Oh, it's plywood. Are you waiting for generators? Because that's that line over there. And so there were hundreds of people in the line. It took me about 3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours of waiting to finally get to the front and bought all the plywood. In the meantime, my dad boarded up my grandmother's house, because they already had stuff set up. And then we headed out to Portland about 6-7 o'clock at night. And I used to
go ahead. Thursday?
On that Thursday. Okay, it was a Thursday. Yeah, Friday was when the hurricane actually hit,
yes.
Right? Okay, so it was Thursday when we were doing the open enrollment in Mathis. And when I went and shopped, got the plywood. And then when we went to Portland. And I'm not... I'm not exactly a carpenter. I'd never used a circular saw before. So, and my dad was like, that's your thing. This is your mom's house. I'll go measure all the stuff and get everything. But you're taking care of that. So I kind of got a hang of it. And after a while, me and him got into a groove and started really taking care of it. And we probably got all of the boards put up by about 1:30 that night. And then we went back to his house, and in the morning we got up and got up pretty early and finished his house. Don't really remember. When did the storm actually hit?
I think it was that Friday night.
That Friday night, so.
We'll fact check it.
Yeah. I think it was that Friday night. So what did we do Friday during the day? I think we just pretty much took care of
Did y'all get food and water for the weekend?
No, we were in Mathis on Friday. Yeah. We must have been in Mathis on Friday. So yeah, this all happened Friday night. And then it came through late that night, or early Saturday morning, I think.
Yeah, I think it was in the AM of
yeah.
night.
So we went back to his house on Louise at 1:30 in the morning. And that's we finished boarding up at his house. I think his girlfriend Cindy had already started working on it, and we finished. Their landlords did. Their landlords did most of it, and we just finished up when we got back. I was pretty nervous because it hit as a Category 4.
I believe so. It hit as a Category
4. Yeah, so really, I got pretty scared. But the reason we didn't leave was because of Cindy's family. Her father's 86 and is very stubborn and felt like he had to stick around to watch the house. I don't know what he was going to do. I mean, if your house blows over, there's not really anything you can do. but he was pretty adamant about staying behind. So she was adamant about staying behind. So Dad was adamant about staying behind. And I was like, oh, well, screw it. I'll just stay. I'm not going to leave with Mom, and I'm not going to leave in the middle of the night on Friday night. So
were you worried when it was just a Category 3 storm?
Most definitely. I mean, but I didn't have that, like, dread. Like, I felt like it'll be fine. But that night when we started to hear that it had been upgraded to a Category 4, that's when, like, I really started getting scared. I didn't sleep that night at all. It was just, I mean, there was no way. So I read by candlelight all night and listened to the wind howl. Luckily, we didn't get the brunt of it. So it wasn't too bad for us.
You mentioned that you had a childhood teacher that taught you about hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever experience hurricanes growing up?
No. Well, there hadn't been a major hurricane. I was born in 85, so 8th grade was 98 for me. And there was no real major hurricane that I can remember between, or in my childhood up till 8th grade. And then I think Ed came through I think it was my freshman year of high school, or of college, maybe the year before, somewhere around there. And we had all of my friends had that teacher. So we all had the fear of God put in us by him about hurricanes. So whenever we heard that one was coming, we just left. So like when Ed came, and we heard there's a hurricane coming, oh, well, so-and-so lives in Austin. This is a great excuse to go to Austin. So we left at like 2 o'clock in the morning that night. But I always was pretty adamant that we need to board up, we need to leave. But Corpus has been really lucky. We haven't, up until this one, a major storm hadn't hit us. And arguably it still hasn't. I was worried coming into the storm because of that too many people would stay behind, because they would be complacent and not worried that the storm would be as devastating as it can or was. But again, we've really lucked out. I feel pretty lucky. My mom had a pretty extensive damage to her home, to her roof, mainly to all of her fences. I think the saddest part, the saddest loss, though, was she had this giant pecan tree. It was like 45 feet tall, like 45 feet wide. It was completely uprooted. But luckily, it completely missed her beautiful deck and missed the house as well, and fell in this perfect spot just where this giant tree just kind of laid itself down next to the deck and next to the house, taking out all the fence and all the power lines and cable. That was actually probably the worst part of the hurricane. The actual experience of the hurricane was dealing with the lack of electricity. And then, because electricity wasn't restored at my mom's house for 5 days, I think. We didn't get internet back until last week. Which was actually, that was a real pain in the ass for school. there was a video that I had to watch for one of my courses on YouTube, and I had to write a paper on it. So I came here to the library and watched it. I mean, that's not normally what I would do, but still a pain in the butt. And of course, it's all the entertainment that comes with the internet that was lacking. But again, that in a way did help with school because we're history majors, so we do lots of reading and writing. So it really helped me focus on doing my readings. And a lot of times at the beginning of the semester, it's easy to kind of get behind. But this semester was not that way for me. I didn't have much else to do but listen to my records and read. So.
Could you expand more on what you did that Saturday when you woke up? Like in the immediate aftermath of the storm.
We were just relieved. I think the first thing we did, we ate. We had some like snacks around there that we ate. And then we just wanted to see. We wanted to check out the city. Especially, he's a few blocks away from the ocean, right there off Santa Fe. So me and him got in his truck, and I work downtown. Our office is on Shoreline, right next to the Whataburger by the Bay. So the first thing we did was, well, let's go check it out. So we drove down Ocean onto Shoreline. You just see all the trees down everywhere, all the fences knocked over, all the signs messed up. But there was really no major damage downtown. Some of the older buildings, like their facades, kind of came down a little bit. Because we drove around through like Chaparral and the old streets there. But our building is this 4-story brutalist concrete building. So I was saying, like, hell, we should just stay in the office. This is like the safest place we could be. We're on the 4th floor in the middle of a concrete building. We went to go check out the office to make sure that... that's something I forgot to mention, too. That Thursday night, we went and secured the office. My dad's office, the main office, has a view of the marina. So we took as much as we could out of his office and moved it into mine and turned everything else, like his bookshelves and stuff, against the wall. So we went back to kind of make sure that the windows weren't busted out, that all the computers were still there, and there's no looting or anything. But we couldn't get into the building because the door was off the hinge. The front door to the office building was just like off. But someone had come, and then the alarm was going off. But someone had come in the night, or in the early morning, I guess, and had chained up the door, so you couldn't get in at all. But surprisingly, that area still had power. So we really wanted to get in because we didn't have air conditioning. Or internet or anything, so we were thinking, like, hopefully we can work. This is our busy season. And we had just been interrupted on a pretty big project, the enrollment. So there were other things that we wanted to take care of, but we obviously couldn't get in the building. We couldn't until Monday. And then for about a week after, the elevators were broken in our building, which was just hilarious. Like, 4 flights of stairs, it's a lot worse than it seems. But especially, you know, there's a lot of older people and a lot of out-of-shape people that work in that office. So you'd see people in the morning trudging up the stairs and then just kind of taking breaks on the second floor, the third floor. It's a 6-story building, so. Yeah, I imagine going all the way to the top and then, like, having a meeting that's outside or going to lunch or anything. You're having to walk up 6 flights of stairs 3 or 4 times a day. I'm sure that was pretty terrible.
You mentioned that your father's house was close to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to deal with any flooding?
No. It's that his, I'm trying to think what park is near there. It's near Oleander Park, if you're familiar where that is.
I'm not familiar.
Okay. It's a park on Ocean Drive that has quite the bluff in front of it. So it, I mean, it's a good 30 foot bluff or so. So the storm surge would have to be pretty insane. And the there's usually not any flooding, no matter how extensive it rains in his neighborhood. So we felt pretty safe about the flooding.
Okay.
I was more worried about the wind at that house. My grandmother's, we were kind of worried about flooding there just because her neighborhood is old and the drainage is poor. But she's pretty far inland, so the storm surge wouldn't have gotten to her either. And then again, at my mom's house, I think the bluff, and I've read before, I don't know if this is true, but that the bluff in Portland is the tallest bluff on the Texas coast. It's like 40-something feet. So I really wasn't worried about flooding there.
So that Saturday and in the following days, how did y'all get food, access to clean water?
Well, one of my friends is, she's a home brewer, and she lives in Cal Allen, near Annabelle. And she made this Facebook post like, hey, we've got power, a crap ton of beer, I'll cook for everyone. So if any of my friends are without power or their homes were damaged or anything, come on over. So so I was like, well, peace, Dad. and Dad and Cindy ended up staying at their house for the next few days. But I went and spent it with my friend in Annabelle, which was pretty great. It was kind of like we had our post-hurricane party. I showed up, another friend of hers, and a couple, and then her and her husband, and we just kind of partied for the next few days.
Perfect.
It was pretty great.
What was your reaction to the mayor's request to mark your arms with your social security number? I know that gained a lot of traction in the news.
Well, I thought that's rational. Again, my eighth grade science teacher had put the fear of God in me. You're not going to have your ID. If I had been a Port Aransas, which I think it was the Port Aransas mayor who said that, or was it? I don't think it was.
It was a local mayor.
It was some local official said that, but I figured that I knew that we wouldn't need it where we were. We would be identified. But if I had been if I'd been riding the storm out in Port Aransas or anywhere like that, I would have been worried about being drowned and washed away. And maybe someone finding me naked with just my social on my arm. Do I think he should have said that? Probably not. You should be more calming for your citizens during a time of crisis like that. I think it's logical, but it's not something that he should have said.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of the local government, what was the response like in your area?
I didn't see much response from local government. And I'm referring now to Portland.
Okay.
Because Portland was much worse than Corpus was. The power was out for most of the city. Some houses were pretty extensively damaged. A few days later, after everyone had started really cleaning up, I mean, it's still not cleaned up completely. What, a month and a half later? But about a week later, when everyone had finally like taken all their limbs and put them on the sidewalk or whatever for brush pickup, you could go down my street, and it's a pretty broad avenue, and it's just filled every single, on both sides of the road, just brush all the way down the street. I imagine the reason it's taken them so long to remove it all is because they just don't have the capacity to do so. It was last week when they finally picked up the stuff on the side of my house. They picked up the stuff in front pretty quickly, but the main place we put that tree was on the side of the house because it was in the backyard. But I guess they started doing the trash pickup daily as well, so that was pretty nice of them, because we filled up our trash can multiple times in the next few days. But what I did see a lot of was citizens rallying together, volunteers from out of town. There's still trailers up in Portland that are like sanctuary services or some other like religious organization that has like a disaster relief bus or something of that sort. There's still a bunch of those all around Portland. And you'd see the volunteers all wearing the same shirts, same color shirts. Just, I remember driving home after work almost every day, going past this certain area where I guess it was a rally point, and you'd see a group of about 20 people all dressed in shorts and the same blue shirts, all just exhausted, just sitting there on a trailer, all looking down, not really talking to each other much. I'm guessing because they worked all day. Helping with relief. The real heroes were the men in the bucket trucks, the electrical workers, the linemen that came out and repaired all the electricity. They were working almost constantly. I'm kind of a night owl. I go to sleep very late, and still, you'd see them driving around in convoys at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, trying to bring power back to the surrounding or to this area. I don't know. I mean, I thanked the guys. I talked to the guys when they were preparing mine, and after mine was restored, I don't know. I felt kind of verklempt. Tear up just a little bit when I'd see a convoy of the electrical workers driving by. Thank you guys so much.
Well, for my final question, I want to ask you, do you think Hurricane Harvey exposed the weaknesses of the city or showed the strength of the city?
As far as the government, I think their initial response, I really didn't care for their initial response. I think there should have been a mandatory evacuation with a Category 4 hurricane coming towards Corpus. Of course, we didn't know that it was going to be a Category 4 until late. But even a Category 3, I think there should have been a mandatory evacuation. If there had been a mandatory evacuation, Cindy, my dad's girlfriend, her dad would have left. Because he's 86, I think he would have realized there's a mandatory evacuation. This is serious. She would have left, and therefore my dad wouldn't have stayed, and I wouldn't have stayed. I wonder how many people were in that situation. So if the hurricane had hit 30 miles further to the south, Corpus would have been devastated. People would have died. But I think if the mayor had issued and County Judge Lloyd Neal had issued a mandatory evacuation, it would have been much safer. But again, I really think Harvey brought Texas together. It not just from my personal experience, but everything I've seen. Well, with my friends who live in Houston, or my friends who live in Rockport, I know the student citizen activists here. At the university, which is, it's a activist group, a student organization. They almost immediately started organizing to go out to Rockport to help anyone they could. And seeing that Texans really came together to help each other afterwards was pretty amazing. There's one other thing that I'm almost reluctant to talk about. But it goes back to the person that I stayed with. So I've known this person for 18 years or so. And she was one of my first, like, interests, love interests when I was, like, 14. and she was the first person I actually took on a date, if you call it that. We went to, like, a political rally. I've been a nerd for a long time. But we went to a city council political rally. And then I found out that one of my other friends was interested in her. And it's like, we were both kind of nerdy. So I felt like, well, I barely have a chance with women. He really does not just let him do his thing. And I kind of like put distance between me and the girl. And then she went to A&M College Station, became an Aggie, which is like very much not my culture. And we grew apart for years, but come to find out, her marriage is failing. When I found this all out while I was staying at her house during Harvey, so we started talking more and more, and she's separated from her husband since then, and we've kind of fallen in love, which is interesting. I mean, this is honestly the first time I've admitted this out loud.
And on record.
Yeah. but, oh well. It was one of the major effects on me of Harvey. I mean, probably the most, or hopefully the most lasting effect will be this rekindling. So it wasn't all bad.
All right. Well, that's all my questions. Do you have anything else you'd want to add?
I don't know. It's a bittersweet time, both for my personal reasons and I really think, I mean, besides like the terrible economic impact and impact on people's lives, it brought some perspective to a lot of Texans. It reminded us how dangerous hurricanes can be. So maybe we'll be more prepared next time. I don't know, I'm hopeful.
All right, Richard, well, thank you for talking with me.
No problem.